few years ago, I gave Michael the opportunity to attend the performance of Handel's Messiah, the complete, unabridged, not even one repeat left out performance of Handel's Messiah. Now, knowing that he was not exactly a connoisseur of classical music, I reminded him that it was customary for people to stand during the singing of the Hallelujah Chorus. He looked at me like I was crazy and wanted to know why. So I attempted to explain how the king saw something during the beginning of the chorus, and he stood up to see it, and everybody stood up, and from that time on, everybody stood up to throughout the Hallelujah Chorus, but he still told me it made no sense and he'd see about it. But he was listening. So as the opening strains of the familiar passage began, he stood with everyone else. Now remember, this was the complete, just as Handel wrote it, Messiah. And so he stood. And we stood. And we stood. Finally, the orchestra and the choir hit that last majestic, I won't sing it, hallelujah. And people were listening to it as it reverberated throughout the auditorium, and Michael began to reach for his coat. I had forgotten to tell him that once you stood up, you had to sit back down for the rest of the concert. When he realized that there was more to come, this look of horror crossed his face. And I said, "Sit down, just sit down." And he looked at me and he went, "But why? He's alive. The story's finished." I said, "Not according to Handel, so sit down." Now, those of you who were here last week, you know that the gospel story was based on Jesus' temptation, right? It's one of those stories that we're so familiar with that most of us can not only recite it, we know where to end it, explain it, and leave, and there's no sermon necessary. Well, as luck would have it, guess what? This week, we have Nicodemus. It's another overly familiar, overly told, we all know the ending, so can we just leave without the sermon story? But like Handel, who believed that the gospel didn't end with the resurrection, I have news for you. Nicodemus's story doesn't end with him turning around and going home. As a matter of fact, if we would open our hearts and open the Word and look at the story again, I think we would be both amazed and perplexed at what we learn. Friends, if there is one person that we 21st century North American Christians should be able to relate to, it's this man, Nicodemus. He is everything we want to be. He's well educated. He's confident. He is well-liked. And he has reached the pinnacle of his career. Nicodemus is not only a good citizen, he is a good Jew. He knows the law. Nicodemus also has an inquiring mind. He's curious, and he wants to know all the answers that he has to the questions he asks. Now, we often envision him as a sinister figure who creeps through the night and sneaks up to Jesus' door and knocks on it with some sneering attitude. But that's not Nicodemus. You see, here was a man who had heard all the rumors. He'd been a part of the theological debates. He knew what people were saying about Jesus. What he didn't know was what Jesus was saying. And so he took the first opportunity he had to go and to ask his questions and to listen for the answers. It was night. But friends, how many of us have driven home in the dark before because work has consumed our day? It was the only time he could see the Lord. And he wasn't going to let such an inconvenience as a little bit of darkness get between him and the answers. And when you stop to think about it, the problem with Nicodemus is that, like many of us, he's just not ready to allow his faith in the Lord to change his life. It wasn't that his faith was faulty. It wasn't. It was just that it was too small. He wants to keep it in his head. He doesn't want to let it into his heart or into his life. He doesn't want to trust that it's powerful enough to help direct everything he's supposed to do. As a result, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he needs to be born from above. In other words, he needs to allow God to be a major force in his life. He needs to quit treating him like an academic subject. He needs to allow God to become a total part of everything he's doing, not just this neat little package that he sets off over here and he lives his life over here. God wants to be a part of his whole life. That's all Jesus is telling him. And yes, it's an invitation that Jesus is extending to all of us too. When he says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from above," he is inviting us into a new life. But to hear the promise, to hear the invitation, we have to let go of all the emotion that tends to surround the concept of being born from above or being born again. We have to forget the bumper stickers and all of the accusatory questions that we've been asked by well-meaning but misguided individuals. And in doing so, we will begin to understand this verse in a new light. We will see it as it is meant to be, an invitation to reconsider our relationship with God. You must be born from above. You must be born again. You have another opportunity, another chance. Jesus isn't telling us we're wrong. Jesus is trying to give us a gift. Jesus is saying it's okay to bring to light those questions that you ask in the night. It's okay to admit your fears. It's okay to admit that you're confused. It's okay. Because God is prepared to allow you to be born again. Friends, Christ wants nothing more than for us to move our faith from the shadows in the dark into the light of God's abundant grace. To become mature believers who are willing to participate fully in the life that God has prepared for us. A life that knows no divisions between faith and reality. The life that God is preparing for us is one that doesn't divide and compartmentalize. It's a way of allowing us to live what we profess on Sunday the other days of the week. The life that Jesus is offering us is one that allows our faith to inform our actions and to mold us into new human beings. It is a faith that does not hesitate to do that which is right, even when it is unpopular with our peers and misunderstood by those who are closest to us. And Jesus knows that such a radical change in our views is something that we cannot do ourselves. That's exactly why this concept of rebirth is so important. It is a gift from God. We're not going to have to make the changes alone. The one who created us and breathed into us the breath of life is the very one who is prepared to help us be born again. All we have to do is ask. And out of the darkness of our existence, a new life will emerge. So come out of the dark. Stand in the light. Ask your questions and increase your faith. For God is at work and wants nothing more than for you to be born from above. To God be the glory. Amen.